Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by Herbert London, the president and founder of the London Center for Policy Research. He is a man who has been making incredibly important contributions in both the public and private sector for a long time, in academia, as well as in the world of think tanks, as a candidate for office, and as an incredibly prolific author. I am deeply grateful to him for having been something of a mentor to me and teaching me much about the world in which we live, as he has so many others. It's wonderful to have him with us for what I hope will be the first of several conversations, including a full hour-length one in the near future. Dr. London, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. My friend, it's so good to have you.
Well, Frank, thank you very much for that very generous introduction. And if anyone is mentoring anyone, I'm being mentored by you. So thank you very much for that kind words.
Kind of you to say. A mutual admiration society. So, Herb, one of the things on which we violently agree is that there is a phenomenon at work at the moment in this country, as well as elsewhere, that forges a most unlikely, it would seem, alliance between the radical left on the one hand and Islamists, or if you will, Sharia supremacists, as our friend Andy McCarthy calls them. You've described this as a watermelon alliance. Others of us have been describing it as a red-green axis. Talk about what it is, how these seemingly diametrically opposed types have come together, and to what end?
Well, I think that what you see here in this red-green alliance, the reason why I call it the watermelon alliance, is in fact the desire on the part of both the extreme left and, of course, Muslims, come together largely because of their antipathy to the United States and the policies of the West. The desire here is to try and undermine the West, even though you would think on its face these people have very little in common. Clearly, if you were to cite one example, the desire to maintain the interests of homosexuals might be the view of the left, certainly not the view of Muslims. But nonetheless, they come together in part because of as I've suggested, there are great concerns about the role that the West has played in world history and the desire to undermine the character and the principles that undermine that characterize the West today.
Yeah. In a really interesting and characteristically thoughtful piece that you had at, I believe, WAMC.org, you describe a piece of this that I think is particularly alarming. You know, a lot of attention is paid at the moment to Antifa and, of course, to the violence of the assorted jihadists. And yet you argue, I think properly, Herb London, that we are also facing a more stealthy, pre-violent kind of insurgency here. Civilization jihad is a term the Muslim Brotherhood has used for it. Tease that out for us as well, if you would.
Well, I think that what you're seeing here, described as lawfare, is an attempt to use the use of the institutions of the West to undermine the West. The Constitution, for example, and the First Amendment is used to undermine the Constitution. The idea that you have free speech and that you can use speech as a way of influencing opinion is also a desire on the part of those who have a clear motive to change the character of the West, to use the institutions that we presently have in order to undermine them. And that is one of the ways in which lawfare often works. And it works in the way that I think has a kind of nefarious effect on the society. We often overlook this in part because this isn't violent behavior or not seemingly violent behavior, but it obviously is a prelude to what might be violent behavior.
And there are so many other examples of it, too. You know, the march through the institutions of the left, you've experienced this firsthand in your many years in academia, Herb London, but also through our courts, through the business sector, notably Occupy Wall Street and Sharia-compliant finance. And, of course, not least through our government with efforts to subvert it or induce it to conform to these agendas. The role of freedom of speech is so vital. As you say, it's a constitutional right. It's being abused to some extent by some who would take down this country, but it's also being abused in another way. And I'd like you to think about this with us, if you would. The extent to which groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center, for example, the Anti-Defamation League, another example, and so many others, are now seeking to suppress the speech of those they don't agree with.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, a very interesting point, because what you have here are those who will stand by the Muslim society, or at least organizations like CARE, and support CARE, and at the same time, not recognize the fact that CARE is doing everything in its power to change our culture and to change the society.
Right. This, of course, is the Council on American-Islamic Relations, Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas front.
It's a Hamas front. And as you may remember, in the Homeland case, it was obviously a co-conspirator, an unindicted co-conspirator. So what we're talking about here are organizations like that that play a very significant role in our society. And by and large, you have the Southern Poverty Legal Group standing by them and also making accusations about others that they do not agree with. I mean, it's remarkable, for example, that Ayaan Hirsi Ali is described as an extremist. An extremist because she's opposed to honor killings, an extremist because she believes Islamists in our society want to undermine the society, and she's an extremist because she is very much opposed to the idea that there should not be arranged marriages.
It's an effort to make sure that people who are effectively opposing their agenda are silenced, first and foremost, it seems to me.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, when you talk about organizations like, you may not agree with a Family Research Council, but this is a perfectly legitimate organization deeply concerned about conservative principles. And again, you may not agree, but to describe this organization as an extremist group.
Haters and bigots and racists. No, I couldn't agree more. But they describe us that way too, Hank, Herb, as you know.
Well, I mean, look, you've been described that way many times, Frank, but you know, the fact is that here you are defending the principles of the West, standing by our constitutional understandings and saying that, you know, you care deeply about the best interests of the United States and you're described as an extremist. This is remarkable.
It's about freedom. At the end of the day, that's what we're all about. Herb, as I know you are, let me ask you to talk quickly about another subject that you're thinking about, and that is what's going on in Catalonia, a province in Spain that just recently had a referendum, which apparently, despite the efforts of the government of Spain to block it, an overwhelming majority said, you know, we want out of here. We want independence, self-determination. What's that about, and what are the implications?
One of the reasons for that, I believe, is that what you're seeing in Spain is what might be described as a kind of neo-Westphalian revival. That is the revival of the idea of the state, the notion that somehow we're going to have this kind of post-state arrangement of the kind that you've seen in Europe is obviously not on the cards. The notion of the last administration for a kind of world globalism where we come together, or the new world order that Bush talked about, is not in the cards. The European Union being a kind of classic example of this, but what you're seeing in Spain, which I regard as very interesting, 20% of Spain today is Muslim. It is increasing at the rate of roughly 27% a year. The desire on the part of Muslims to reacquire territory they once had is obviously in the cards. If you go to Costa del Sol, it's now an extension of Saudi Arabia. Every yacht in the marina is a Saudi yacht. I mean, there is no doubt that what we're seeing in Spain today is a clear example of the reacquisition of much of the territory that the Moors once had. And in that sense, this scenario, which is a kind of bought your scenario of a kind of Arabia, is something that we're seeing before our very eyes. We're seeing it in Spain. And it strikes me, this is a very alarming development. It's happening in Spain. It will happen elsewhere. But there is no doubt that Spain represents the kind of thin edge of the wedge, the beginning of a very important development that's occurring in Europe. The Catalonians saying, we don't want any part of this. Our economy is doing a lot better than the economy of the rest of Spain, which is faltering. Well, our economy is an economy that appears to have fewer Muslims and much less welfareism than you have in the rest of Spain. So the Catalonians are saying, we're out of here. We don't want any part of this. And it's an understandable reaction.
Yeah, it seems to me it's in our interest to have them do so. So I'm looking forward to further conversations about that and about the Kurds as well. We were discussing them a moment ago with Luis Fleischman. I'm anxious to pick your brains about that subject too. Herb London, that's it for today, though. Thank you so much for joining us and for the terrific work you do at the London Center for Policy Research. I know you'll keep it up, and I hope you'll come back to us again soon. Next up, we will speak with Ann Corcoran, straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.